Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to Harry's.com. Save $5 off your first purchase by entering the code HAMNATION when you check out. And by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 195 for May 6, 2015. Duck and cover.
Good evening, everybody. We are getting ready for the greatest spectacle in ham radio next week. I'm Bob Heil, K9EID, and I have a host of great guys behind me and a whole bunch of great people in the chat room. And we're getting all bagged up here. Got to get it all together. And in our bags are all these things that we have to take with us. New things that somebody they've never seen before. You're the first to see this, and you've seen this, but now it's going to date, and which, you know what that means. That means you will be able to go home with it. You got to go home from Dayton with something, but I got a biggie for you today. This one came in the mail. And it's going to be super duper for me carrying all my gear around. Look at this baby here. Yay.
Oh, man.
Nice.
I didn't get
but
one.
It's good about it is it's going to be carrying all of these things. And we'll talk about that in a minute because we're going to be doing Ham Nation from there live, two different shows. And to help me coordinate all of this stuff will be several people, and here's one of them, Gordo, WB6NOA. How you doing, Gordo?
I am fine, and I love the brand-new lightweight headset. I've tried it on different radios, even the Orphan Chinese radios. This thing kicks, you know what? It works great, and best of all, it doesn't pick up crowd noise way off the back. And best of all, it has great audio that even Gordo can hear. So this is good. It's going to be a busy week coming up this weekend, Armed Forces Crossban. And the word is, when you make contact, be sure you're in the ham band. They will tell you on the military band what frequency to tune to be able to talk back to the armed forces out of band. Do not transmit out of band. And they said, make your message rather formal because this is a military crossband exercise. And you know, Bob, a week from next during Dayton is the Armed Forces Weekend, and the wonderful The Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club, that was a mug that they gave me when I was there several months ago, they're going to be set up at the historic Republic Airport operating W2GSB, a special event station, and they're located on the new highway. They're on 16th and 17th, and they encourage you to come by and see some of these warbirds that saw the action. Also, weekend after next during Dayton is the Levenstein, or I can't even say it, Castles on the Air in the Netherlands. So listen for Papa Delta zeros, ones, and twos, because you might be talking to a castle. And then, Bob, this Tuesday coming up, Angel, WP3GW, Angel says, We're on the air for Puerto Rico Amateur Radio Operator Day all day this coming Tuesday. So that's a story here. We've got the brand new book that we're bringing to Dayton, and we've got notes on the Chinese handheld. So it's going to be fun. And then I'll tell you in a few more minutes all the great fun that we had last week up in Reno. Bob, back to you.
Okay, that's great. Well, we all know what's going on with these guys, and they're going to be in full force at Dayton in all colors. But I'm really excited about this. We have never had a Handy Talkie headset. And Miss Sarah and Steven and Jerry put all their efforts together, and it's here. But it's not just one of those crummy little thingies that you find out there. It really is high quality. We wouldn't have it any other way. But in this bag I got today, Gordo, I got some really great news. And I'm just really proud of this whole deal. You know, a couple of weeks ago, DX Engineering announced that they finally got Kenwood, which is a long time coming. Well,
wow.
They are now announcing that they are going to be the dealers for AECOM. The big 2000, AECOM 2000. It is the DX's choice of power amps, as I figure it. And so now we're going to be able to get just about everything from DX Engineering. I appreciate them bringing this bag to me and sending it to me, because it's going to be great to carry all of my mixers and microphones and stands and cables, because next Wednesday night, make a note of this, we're going to be live from the hotel in downtown Dayton, where they do all of the Contest University, they do the contest dinners, a lot of the serious operators are there. And something that I want to guide everyone to, if you've never gone to Dayton, and this will be your first year, even if it isn't your first year, a lot of people don't realize, and Gordo, you can help me with this, how many events happen away from Hera. What do we got? We got the Collins group, the 160 meter group, the QRP group. What are the things that you know of, Gordo, that happen off campus, so to speak? There's a lot of activity around the city, right?
There sure is. In fact, the amateur television group is meeting at a local restaurant the ATVQ get together. There's going to be the VHF-UHF group getting together at an alternate restaurant. The league is going to have some of their get-togethers at alternate locations. Mm-hmm. So if you have a rental car, put wings on it, because you're going to need to fly all around very locally, maybe 5 to 10 minutes. But there's action all that Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night at Dayton Hamvention weekend after next. Bob?
Yeah, and I think it's, 3494 is the talk-in. So they'll have information about all this, and they can help you guide. They're really great at that. They have guys that live there all their life, and they know where all these events are. So we're really excited to go to Dayton. And please, if you go to Dayton, look us up. You won't miss us in Audio Alley. And Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, be watching here if you don't go to Dayton, because we're going to do a live program with Leo on his Tech Guy show. And we're very excited about that he brings amateur radio to his Tech Guy for a little bit. So we're happy to be able to do all of that. Also, AECOM will be live streaming a lot of the things. Thursday morning at 11 o'clock, I'm doing an audio for him in the Contest University. And I'm really excited to do that. So, Gordo, let's go back to you. You've got some things also. And let's see some pretty pictures from the Gordo.
Okay, very good, Bob. And you know, at Dayton, Saturday, Carol Perry, WB2, mighty good professor, has a lot of very talented kids coming in to room number 2 at 9:15. But a very special guest, astronaut Mike Finke, KA5AIT, will be there. And wow, what a great deal for those kids to rub elbows with an astronaut that's rubbed elbows with the space station. Wow, neat stuff. So Everybody, go to the Dayton Hamvention website, hamvention.org, and look at all of the events and make sure you know where they are off campus in the evening, because there's plenty of excitement there. Well, we had plenty of excitement this past weekend. And Victor, if you want to go ahead and roll that first shot. And it took place in Boomtown, Nevada. And in memory of Gary Grant, K7VY, this was a wonderful event, Nevada Ham Radio Convention, sponsored by Elecraft, Gigaparts, Connect Systems, CSI. The Nevada State Convention was held all over the weekend this past weekend near Reno. The second annual event put on by SNARS, the Sierra Nevada Amateur Radio Society. And N7V special event station was worked by several individuals from SNARS, and they had one for CW as one as for voice. And there were many presentations. You're hearing this airplane fly over. It's a four-engined, I don't know what it is, but it's a loud one celebrating Armed Forces Weekend coming up. There are many presentations on Friday afternoon and all day Saturday, and that's where we offered our Instructor Academy on Friday. But these special event stations were on the air. And we had loads of exhibitors, and AMSAT was a very popular table. That's Linda, KC7IIT, and Francis N7ZEV. And in the main convention hall, Elecraft, Elk Antenna, Lido Mounts, Ventenna, QRZ Engraving, High Tech Liquidators, Disaster Guy, N7NU, Prop Pitch Motor, NV7X, with tons of stuff. It was a fun event for all the exhibitors as well as those of us attending. Now, the ARC, this is interesting. This is an amateur radio club founded by Gino, KG7POU, providing 24/7 Elmer support via phone for any ham, young or old, that's me, the focus of helping interested individuals get their tech license. What a great group to meet up there at Boomtown, Nevada. And, of course, you can't come to Nevada without having a great dinner. And look at this. They ferried everybody via vehicle, outdoor barbecue, and was just a great way to celebrate that first night at Boomtown. And, boy, you could really see the stars. All day Saturday were more presentations and forum. And then Saturday night featured a banquet with a surprising skit. This is fun to have a skit. And an award of a non-academic degree to a ham. And it was presented by John Bigley, N7UR. And he was Professor Sparkgap. And we'll give you more about that presentation. But look at all these hams having fun. And it wasn't just older hams, as you see on the right, but kids, too. This is Marty, KG7MDB, the youngest Nevada ham at 8.5 years old. Way to go. And, of course, outside in the great Nevada sunshine, and it wasn't too warm, was the outdoor swap meet and several emergency communications vehicles, including this one, which is the Washoe County ARES vehicle, converted from a satellite truck. Pretty neat, huh? And you should see the inside. And another vehicle in front of that as well. And, of course, what's a ham fest without a swap meet? And they had a terrific swap meet that was four times as large as the one last year up in, not Silver City, but anyway, up there. It was great, and loads of good things were to be had. So Sunday afternoon, it was time to pull up stakes and leave out. And as we headed southbound with Tracy and Jody, who are the photographers that you see here and the one that put this part of the video together, we saw the Eastern Sierras with a backdrop of raindrops and some great little bit of snow, of which we need every drop and every flake that we can get. And that's Mount Whitney in the background. Well, on the way down, we're always on the air, and we met up. Tracy was operating on high frequency, and he was using this KX3, put a wire antenna into a tree, trying to make some contacts. And Tracy Tracy said that to his first surprise, his contact was just Keith W6KRF, two blocks away. And Keith came to the park to meet us and told us all about the Bishop Amateur Radio Club and told us all about his Chateau. A Chateau? Well, what in the world is a Chateau? Well, it looks like an outhouse, but it isn't. It is a portable ham radio, emergency comm, or public service comms shack to get hams on the air all at once. And WA6ERA, Tracy and Jody were very surprised when we had a close-up of this unique operating station. And the Chateau is on a trailer for portable use in the field, and they just pop it up and away they go. And inside, they have every radio known to mankind. And as you can see on the outside, every antenna just a great way to keep things going. We went downtown to meet up with Keith's talented wife, Joy, who is an artist, AJ6 Whiskey Mike, at her craft shop. And she told us she was helping Keith to upgrade to his extra license because Joy already has her extra class license. And on departing, look what we were given. Susie and I had the very friendly animal. Joy, thank you so much, and we will take good care of them. So it's a good lesson to all hams, and that is when you're traveling around, stay on the air, stay on HF or 146.52. And when you're going to a new location, there is no telling what ham group you may meet and how they'll take you under their feathered wings and show you all about their Chateau, quite a shack that is towable. It could only happen with the Bishop Amateur Radio Club and some of the other great clubs that work with them in the High Sierras. So that was our fun this past weekend. Congratulations to Mike and his team to put this hamvention, putting this ham radio convention together up in the High Sierras. Bob, back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, it looked like a lot of fun. You always have a lot of fun when you go places, but that's part of it. It's having fun, especially with ham radio around. You have to have fun. And boy, we're about to have lots of fun this next week. And even those of you that can't be with us, you will be able to watch a lot of the live streams that are happening from Dayton. ICOM's going to do a lot of live streams. So check it out. And the website is hamvention.org. And you'll find a lot of information there. I'm not sure, Don. I guess I should pack my orange or should I pack my platinum Harry's? Which one should I pack, you know?
Oh, well, by all means, you should pack the platinum. I mean, go big or go home, right? You know, I mean, you got to look sharp. You got to be a Harry's man. Of course, you know, Bob Hiles is a Harry's man. And, of course, Gordon West is a Harry's man. And I'm working on being Harry's man. I'm still a confirmed electric guy, but man, I do love the Harry's razor. And there's a problem that Harry's is fixing. If you are a confirmed blade shaver, you know just how overpriced razors are. And let's admit it, shaving's not fun. It's a chore. I mean, unless you want to grow this great big beard. And have you seen the news about all the stuff that's in beards lately? My God, why would you not want to shave it off? Anyway, sometimes you cut or you scrape yourself with dull blades. They're expensive. They run, on average, about $4 a blade. Not Harry's, though. A guy who shaves every day spends hundreds of dollars a year just on blades. And, of course, you go to the store to buy them. Sometimes you have to deal with, you know, the blades locked up in plexiglass cabinets. Do I need a prescription for these? What? Well, there's a company that's fixing it all. And it's Harry's. Harry's will give you high-quality razors at about half the price of the big-name brands. Now, Harry's makes their own blades. That's the important thing. And it's a factory in Germany. This is German steel. It is there it is right there, making the blades in Germany. This is high-tech stuff. And they engineer them for sharpness and high performance. And they will ship them to you for free right to your door. And because they make their own blades and because they ship their own blades, they're a much more efficient company. That means they can give us, yes, you and me, factory direct pricing. And Harry's guarantees your satisfaction. In every kit, you get a razor with a handle, looks and feels great, three razor blades, and a foamy shave gel. The starter Truman set is an amazing deal. It's just $15 for the whole deal. But I'm going to tell you how you can save a little bit of money on that, too. Harry's gives me a clean, close shave and a comfortable shave. I love the look and feel of the set. I see shaving with my Harry's. It's something nice that I do for myself. I pamper myself because, like I said, I'm a confirmed electric guy, but I love shaving with the Harry's razor. And I love the price, too, because it costs about half as much as the razors at the store. My wife likes Harry's, too. She not only likes what Harry's does to my face, but she has a Harry's razor, too. So, ladies, it's not just for us guys. They have a new aftershave moisturizer, too, that is really nice. Protects and hydrates your skin. It's great stuff. Go to harrys.com. Get $5 off your first purchase with the code HAMNATION. That's HARRYS.com. Enter the code HAMNATION at checkout. You, too, will be a Harry's guy or girl. And Harry's, thank you so much for the clean, close shave and your support of our little dog and pony show that we like to call Ham Nation. Now, I wonder, is Garlic Mike a Harry's guy? I'm not sure. Garlic Mike, W6TH, are you a Harry's man? You look like a Harry's man.
You know, Don, and I just shaved and I didn't use Harry's, but I do use a razor there and shaving cream. So, you know,
go
I'm
to Harry's.
Up for grabs. Harry's,
do it.
Help me out.
Harry's.com. Do it. Enter code Ham Nation. You'll save $5. It's awesome.
It's the best. I love Harry's. I've been shaving all morning with Harry's. I love it.
Yeah, but we don't give him the blade. You know, he doesn't. He's not allowed sharp items. What's going on? You've got interesting news about this Ham Nation special event, don't you, Mike? Tell us all about it.
Well, hello from the Garlic Capital. And those of you who don't know me, I am Mike, WT6H.
Hey, Mike!
Hey, Gordo.
I'm the 40-meter Hey, Mikey.
After show net controller. And hi, Mom. Happy Mother's Day to you. She does watch the show, you guys, even though she's not a ham. So here's what we've got. You know, I don't know who's keeping track of this stuff, but believe it or not, we've hit another milestone or about to reach here with Ham Nation here in a couple weeks with 200 episodes behind us. So congratulations, everybody. And this has been, it seems like it's been a long time. And what we're going to bring you here on HF is an opportunity to score a special certificate along with special QSL cards. And to do that, we have not just me and the regular gang. We had last time at our 100th show, we had a special event similar to this. We've also got this time, well, let's see, who all do we have here for the certificate? Victor, do you have the bicentennial certificate? Okay, so here's what you'll get. And look at this. Wow, this was designed by Dale, K0HYD, who will be W0H in the event. We also have David and Cheryl. That's K9BIK and K9. They're both be using W9H, okay, from Cheryl's station there. We have Steve, our 20-meter net control station, W7H. Yours truly, W6H. Bill, K5LN, will be W5H. And, of course, Al, the powerhouse out of Connecticut there, W1H. What the deal is with this here is you want to work all six stations. If you do that, you'll get a clean sweep endorsement. And I'll tell you what, we've got this event is starting up on our 198th show. That'll be on episode on the 27th, the 28th Zulu time. And we're going to start this. We're going to kick it off right at the beginning of the show there on the 28th on show 198. And it's an 8-day long event. So you'll have the weekend and you'll have all until the next show. And then it will end at midnight local time for each of us. So if you take a look now, we don't have the information posted yet. However, we do have some exciting news coming up. It's a surprise. And along with Dayton and all the other hoopla going on here, we're going to announce the details to this event on the 15th of May. So look for that, and it'll be on our Ham Nation 40 webpage. However, also with QRZ, each of the call signs I've mentioned will have a page with similar information. They're listed for the event. Now, this will be a HF-only event. This will be an HF-only event. So those of you that are technicians, don't fret. We will be on 10 meters as much as possible. And with band conditions the way they are, I look forward to making many, many contacts on 10 meters. And for the most part, it's going to be a casual operation, at least for me, as I do work during the day. So after I get home and relax for a few minutes, I'm going to jump on the bands and try to tear it up for at least a couple hours every night during the week and on the weekend, which will be Friday, Saturday, and possibly Sunday night. Try to spend all day on the air giving up contacts for W6H. Let's see what else do we got here.
This is going to be so much fun, Mike, and I can't wait until we publicize the added twist.
The added twist. Oh, there is some exciting news coming up, and Don, don't spoil it for it.
I'm not.
We will give you updated information on the event here. So, anyways, the way this is going to work out is you guys just stay tuned for more information on this. I know Dale will have some stuff coming up at the end of the show. Six stations, we're all across the country, and what you need to do is work at least four of the stations. You work four of us, you will qualify for the certificate. If you work five or you work six, which would be all of us, you'll get a clean sweep endorsement. You're not seeing it here, but it will be an additional sticker that we will send to you when you QSL for your cards from the individual stations. So that's the added twist there, and boy, more information will be posted on Friday, May 15th. And again, this will start with our show on the 27th, and it will go through, it will end on the night of show episode 199. So just after Memorial Day weekend is when this event will start. So tell your friends, get those radios warmed up, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to this, celebrating 200 episodes of Ham Nation. My God, it's our bicentennial broadcast celebration. No, we haven't been doing this for 200 years, but it seems like it. God, and you guys that have been that are working on the show, they're all the show hosts. What a great job making this happen. I know a lot of us, well, 4 years ago, we didn't know what this was going to turn into. So what a great show. I am so honored to be a part of this and be doing this, be giving back to our viewers and everybody who watches the show here every week. So there you go. And I think that's about it here from the West Coast.
All right, Michael.
It is three weeks away. There you go.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me on the show. Any questions?
And no, I
won't be making it to Dayton this year. So sorry about that. But you guys all have fun at Dayton without me.
All right. We'll meet up with Michael 72, 78 or somewhere around there tonight and the rest of our 40 meter hosts. And there you can ask them those questions personally. Thanks, Mike. Here's a horn to you and your net team.
Thanks, Gordo, and everybody. And yeah, we will be on or around 7268. Hello to everybody that joins us on 40 meters every week. And I'll be looking forward to hearing you check in tonight. WT6H, now clear.
That's great. That's great. Mike, you do have quite a team. We salute all of them, every one of the guys. And they spend so much time after the net. If you haven't checked into these nets, gosh, it's exciting. So you want to do that, especially number 200. And Don, you're going to be there on that eventful night when they close out, and we'll be going to our number 200. But you work all those special events, and I'm glad to see you there. Really glad to see you here, and I think you've got some real super news coming up in Newsline tonight about this solar, right?
Yes, we do. Dr. Tamitha Scove has got some interesting news, and of course, if you are going to Dayton, make sure you go to the Antenna Forum on Friday that Tim Duffy, K3LR from DX Engineering, puts on, because she will be there giving a talk on the sun and how it affects radio propagation. And if you can't see that in person, you can watch that at icomamerica.com. Just one of the many places you can catch Dayton live streaming. Of course, W5KUB does his live streaming as well. And Gordon mentioned at the top of the show the crossband military exercise with Mars. We've got some information about that, too, in Amateur Radio Newsline coming your way right now. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1963, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, May 6, 2015. Ham Radio became a first responder after a magnitude 7.8 earthquake hit Nepal Saturday, April 25th. As this report was being prepared, at least 5,000 were known dead and many others missing. The quake also triggered avalanches on Mount Everest with several climbers killed. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, is in the newsroom with the latest.
Within hours of the quake hitting, ham radio operators from around the world were on the air offering whatever support they could provide. Here in the United States, one of those radio amateurs was Wayne Odakowski and Zero UN in Parker, Colorado, who served as one of many net controllers on 20 meters.
This is Norway Zero United Norway assisting the Nepalese disaster communication group that's been assembled here on 14215 to gather information. And make contacts and do what we can with our ham radio stations. And also trying to keep 14205 free and clear for emergency communications only.
Soon it was learned that with almost no communications into and out of Nepal, that even governments wanting to provide aid were turning to monitoring the ham radio bands.
I don't know how this has happened, but we got a call from someone in the UK who has actually informed of what we're doing, informed the British government, and they were very excited to hear what we're doing. They are monitoring both frequencies, Wayne, Dan. They're monitoring this frequency now and 14205 to get the latest updates that they can get from us.
That was Amir Bazak, 4X6TT in Israel. Meantime, the Nepal Amateur Radio Society is providing emergency communications in the wake of the disaster. Stadesh Kahal, 9N1AA, reports that he was using solar power and was coordinating his efforts with the police in the capital city of Kathmandu. Kathmandu was among the area's hardest hit.
We'll have follow-up reports in future newscasts. Late updates will be posted to the Amateur Radio Newsline Facebook page as they come in. Amateur radio is poised to gain access to two new bands as the FCC prepares to implement treaty obligations reached at the 2007 and 2012 World Radio Communications Conferences. Here's Stephen Kinford, NAWB.
In a combined 257-page report and order, the FCC has allocated a new low-frequency band from 135.7 to 137.8 kilohertz to the amateur service on a secondary basis. Allocation on this sliver of spectrum at 2,200 meters was in line with the final acts of the 2007 World Radio Communication Conference. The FCC has also proposed a new secondary 630-meter medium-frequency allocation at 472 to 479 kilohertz to amateur radio. However, no amateur radio operation will be permitted in either band until the FCC determines the specific Part 97 rules it must create to permit operation. This could take some time. It should be noted that hams would share both allocations with unlicensed Part 15 power line carrier systems. These systems are operated by electric companies to monitor and control power distribution systems. Last, FCC has raised the secondary amateur service allocation at 1,900 to 2,000 kilohertz of 160 meters to primary status.
The 257-page master document that outlines all the changes to be implemented across the electromagnetic spectrum can be found at the link in this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. The United States Army, Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard are co-sponsoring the annual Military Amateur Radio Crossband Communication Tests in celebration of Armed Forces Day and the 90th anniversary of MARS, the Military Auxiliary Radio System.
This annual event is described as a unique opportunity to test two-way communications between amateur radio and military stations. The event features traditional military-to-amateur crossband SSB, CW, and legacy interoperability modes. And this year, amateur stations may try their hand at using more modern military communications such as MIL-STD, serial PSK, and automatic link establishment.
That's Ralph Squalacci, KK6ITB. The actual Armed Forces Day is celebrated on Saturday, May 16th. This year's crossband communications test will be conducted May 9th and 10th to prevent conflict with the Dayton Hamvention. You'll find links to more information in this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. And speaking of Hamvention, the prizes are rolling in and stacking up.
Prizes to be awarded at the 2015 Dayton Hamvention have exceeded $55,000, and additional donations are still coming in. Several transceivers highlight the major prizes. These include an IC7600 and ID5100A from ICOM America, three TS590Gs from Kenwood, USA, an FTDX1220 and an FT450D from Yaesu, USA, and a DXSR9T from Alinco. The biggest prize in physical size is a U.S. Tower HDX555 55-foot crank-up tower.
Hamvention is May 15th through 17th. Be sure to look for us at the Ham Nation booth next to Heil Sound and Audio Alley all weekend. And Dr. Tamitha Scove will be at the Antenna Forum on Friday at 2:30 p.m. And don't miss the Ham Nation Forum on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Both of these forums will be held in Forum Room 1. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. For Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, Stephen Kinford, NAWB, and Ralph Squalachi, KK6ITB, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's Dr. Tamitha Scove with the solar update.
Hi, I'm Tamitha Scove with your solar storm forecast for the week of May 7th. The sun has kicked activity into high gear this week. We have no less than two solar storms that are en route. One of them is actually hitting us right now, and the other one is still on its way. You can see the first solar storm here kind of ripping off the southern hemisphere. It's almost like the sun opened up like a zipper. On top of that, we've had two active regions that have been sending us multiple high-class flares. We have four M-class flares and an X-class flare, and they're from regions 2335 and 2339. You can see that X-class flare just explodes off the top of the sun. The blast wave propagates all the way over the top, and you can also see that second solar storm erupting right here from center disk, but I'll talk more about that filament eruption in a minute. Switching to our M-flare threat level, you can see we've actually been in quite a lull. We've hardly had any flaring at all, and what little flares we've had have hardly made the C-class level. But all of that changed once region 2335 started to grow, and we started to have some of these other regions beginning to rotate onto the east limb. And you can see within the last 24 hours, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4 M-class flares, and then this huge X2.7, and it looks like the party is just beginning. Switching to our solar storm levels, you can see the space weather has been incredibly quiet this week. As a matter of fact, it's been so quiet that they haven't even gotten any propagation on the ham radio bands up until just recently. Over in the past few days, we've actually gotten a little bit noisier, which allows for good propagation, but still reasonably quiet conditions and very little aurora. Up until about an hour ago when the solar storm first hit, and you can see we're already sitting at active conditions, and things might get even more active as time goes on. Now, I don't have any aurora pictures to show you, but I do have something interesting to share. Returning to that filament that I talked about earlier, you can see it erupting here, but it's actually part of a much larger structure that pretty much snakes across the sun. But this is not the first time we've seen this. Back in early February, you see there's another filament structure that snaked all the way across the sun, and this structure actually erupted on the backside, as it was seen by stereo. Once that part of the disk rotated back into Earth view, you can see it left this huge scar, but there was still a filament channel in that scar. Now, fast forward to a month later. This is now April, and you can see that filament channel has yet created another filament that did erupt and went earthward. And now, fast forward to May. Here we are again. That filament channel still exists, and it's still firing solar storms at us, just like it has since February. So almost overnight, the space weather went from extremely quiet to very exciting. We've had four M-class flares and an X-class flare just in the past 24 hours with the promise for more. Now, what this means is that you amateur radio operators, you're going to have to expect a few radio blackouts here and there during this week while these regions are in view. Also, you GPS operators, you might see a few minor inconveniences and issues, especially on the sunlit side while there's flaring. Now, on top of that, we have one solar storm that is hitting Earth right now. We have another solar storm that's going to be hitting us near the end of the week. So pretty much the amateur radio bands are going to be problematic for the rest of this week. And you GPS operators, if you happen to be anywhere near aurora, or you aurora photographers, if you happen to be using your GPS, remember there are problems when you're near the aurora. But to make up for all these inconveniences, let's just hope we get some good aurora shots out of the whole thing. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Wow, just amazing. I love how she just takes something that is so, I don't know, out there as a subject as big as the sun itself, and how she condenses it down to make even an idiot like me understand it, or, well, almost understand it. Just amazing. And somebody who does the exact same thing with very technical things is George with Smoke and Solder. George, how are you tonight?
I am doing pretty good, Don. I've been kind of busy getting packed up to go to Dayton here.
There you go. I've got there you go.
Nice new bag here to put everything in.
Yeah,
we are we're really looking forward to a great time there this year, and we've got some special things coming up, but we'll talk a little bit about those in just a moment. But first, why don't we get a message from someone who helps make Amateur Lot, Ham Nation possible. They help make both of them possible, but this time.
It's your first trip to the big city, isn't it, George?
Ham College, Ham Nation. Don Wilbanks.
Two out of three, man.
The time is now. Dayton Hamvention 2015 is upon us. Join in the fun at Harrah Arena or tune in online as ICOM America is broadcasting various events before and during the event. Live at Dayton with ICOM America. This year's Hamvention takes place from May 15th through 17th in Dayton, Ohio. Can't make it? ICOM has you covered. ICOM is offering live broadcasts of select events. This is an exciting free service the company has provided in the last few years. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/Dayton2015 for video and streaming schedule. ICOM will be live at Dayton starting Thursday, May 14th, one day before Hamvention officially opens. Live streams will continue through Saturday, May 16th. Check out a speaker list and video schedule on ICOM's website. Broadcast events include the day-long contesting workshop, morning D-Star lecture, antenna forum, youth forum, and a very special event at ICOM's booth on Saturday afternoon. You won't want to miss it. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/Dayton2015 for all things Dayton. Make sure you visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's complete line of amateur radio products.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and learn how you can win in the monthly drawing. For April, the grand prize was the ICOM ID 51A Plus, a dual-band, dual-watch handy-talkie with built-in D-Star, GPS, near-repeater list-up, micro-SD card slot for voice and data and storage and cloning, plus a whole lot more. The winner for that, Matthew L., KD8VCB. And for May, we've got another great grand prize here. This one's going to be the ID5100A, a dual-band, dual-watch mobile with touchscreen, D-Star, GPS receiver, repeater list-up, optional Bluetooth, and a whole lot more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation to get the official rules and to check out all the previous ICOM drawing winners. Sign up and good luck. And don't forget to follow ICOM America Incorporated on Facebook and Twitter. So now it's time for Smoke and Solder. And, you know, Gordo, you've been talking about antenna tuners here recently.
Yeah.
And showed us kind of how to tweak them and all that. I thought maybe this week we might talk about how to connect one and a meter or whatever else you got. So, Victor, if you'll roll the footage here.
Connecting an antenna to your HF station is not that difficult. It mainly depends on your antenna and what extra gear you want to connect. Let's take a look at a few different possibilities. Virtually all HF rigs have a 50-ohm unbalanced connector for the antenna. Ideally, you'd use a 50-ohm unbalanced antenna. However, that's not usually the case. Perhaps the most popular HF antenna around is the half-wave dipole. This antenna consists of two equal-length quarter-wave elements connected in a balanced configuration. Now, this will work with 50-ohm coax, which is an unbalanced connection, if everything is perfect. However, things often aren't perfect. That's why we might consider using a matching device like a balun, which means balance to unbalance. It will connect the 50-ohm unbalanced feed line to a balanced antenna and reduce radiation coming back down the feed line into the shack. Not only will a balun convert from balanced to unbalanced, it can also be used to transform an impedance. In the case of the halfway dipole, though, we would just use a simple one-to-one balun. Whatever the input impedance is, the output impedance would be the same. The balun would be located at the end of the transmission line, right near the antenna feed point. Now, some amateurs prefer to use balanced ladder line, which is available in 300, 450, or 600 ohms typically. In this case, they'll need a balun to convert from the 50 ohm output impedance of the transmitter into the higher impedance of the ladder line. Normally, this balun would be located near the transmitter. Many antenna tuners will come with a built-in balun for connecting wireline transmission line. For the rest of this segment, we're going to concentrate on 50 ohm coax, which is unbalanced. In a perfect world, your 50 ohm transmitter would feed 50 ohm coax into a 50 ohm antenna. Sometimes it might not be possible to trim your antenna for a perfect 50 ohms. In these cases, we'll need to use an antenna tuner. Ideally, the antenna tuner would be located at the end of the coax cable, right at the antenna feed point. Have you ever noticed those boxes that are usually right at the base of an AM antenna? These are called doghouses, and if you looked inside, it would look something like this, an antenna tuner. Since AM broadcast stations only operate on one frequency, they can easily locate their antenna tuning unit right at the base of the tower because they'll basically adjust it once and that's it. There's no changing. However, with amateur radio, it's often not practical to put the antenna tuning unit right at the base of the antenna, so we'll move it inside the shack near the transmitter. Now, this is a compromise, not the best way to work, but it's what most of us do who are using a tuner. Our transmitter will be perfectly happy operating into a properly tuned antenna tuner that'll present 50 ohms to it. However, there's still going to be some reflected power on the coax, and that's not good, but it's what we live with. This discussion could go on for days, but we're going to stop it here, so we've got time to talk about some of the other items that you might want to put in series with your transmitter and antenna. You might want to use an external watt meter and SWR meter. Naturally, you'd locate this as near to your transmitter as you could so that you're seeing the same reflected power that your transmitter sees. Now, suppose you wanted to use a tuner and a watt meter. Where would you position those? Well, the watt meter is the first thing after the transmitter because we're still interested in the reflected power that the transmitter is seeing. Now let's suppose we want to use a linear amplifier and a tuner. How would you connect those? The linear amplifier is the first thing after the transmitter, and then the tuner is on the output of the amplifier because we're interested in matching that antenna to the output impedance of the amplifier. Now what if we wanted to add a meter to the mix? Where would it go? It would go right at the output of the linear amplifier and before the tuner, because we're interested in seeing the reflected power that the linear amp is seeing. So there you go, a basic discussion of how things connect in your transmission line. Now, you can end up with some different cases and different gear, but typically, this is how you do it. I thought it was about time maybe we talk about how you'd connect all those things together. You know, if you're sitting there with several objects like that in coax, it can get a little confusing if you don't really reason it out good. But the meter always goes right after whatever the output stage is, whether it's your transmitter or if you've got a linear amplifier. And then the tuner goes past all of that. Well, you know, last week I asked a question, where should the negative return connection of a mobile transceiver's power cable be connected? And your choices were A, at the battery or engine block ground strap, or B, at the antenna mount, C, to any metal part of the vehicle, or D, through the transceiver's mounting bracket. And, you know, really, any of those will work, but there's only one correct answer. And Kay Hartman, K8GZ, knew it. And Kay said A, at the battery or antenna block ground strap. So congratulations, Kay. We're going to send you this IsoTip quick charge soldering iron, a great way to get up to temperature and soldered really quick. These things are really handy, and they're isolated, too. That's why they call them IsoTip. You know, there's no connections. Great to have one of these handy because you never know when you're going to make that quick solder joint, and this is the perfect thing for it. Next week, we've got another prize here, and we're going to give away one of these MFJ
dual 24-hour clocks. Set one side to your local time, set the other time or other side to UTC time, and you'll always know what time it is. Real handy to have. If you'd like to win that, well, I've got a question for you here. And I don't know what I did with the question.
Yeah,
I really don't.
Happens to me a lot.
Look Boy, between the linear amplifier and the meter. See if you stuck it in there.
I think it's still sitting there on the printer. I tell you what, why don't we come back and when Amanda gets in here, I'll ask the question then. But for right now, I think we need to, we need to go to Don for a minute because you've got something important to talk about, don't you?
I do. I thoroughly enjoyed the smoke and solder thing. You know what your smoke and solder has in common with this book right here? All the stuff that you talked about, from the transceiver to the antenna and everything in between, the meters, the amplifiers, the coax, it's all in here. It's all in here. Now, this is the autumn-winter edition 2014. You know, it's still a great catalog, but it's outdated because they've added Elinco. That's not in that book. They've added Kenwood. That's not in that book. Now, AECOM HF products, AECOM amplifiers at DX Engineering. This is amazing. And AECOM has an amazing reputation for its high-performance RF power amplifiers. AECOM amps give you features and performance typically found only in commercial and government telecommunication systems. And DX Engineering has AECOM amplifiers in stock and ready to ship right now, including the 2000A. First amateur radio HF amp to combine fully automatic tuning and sophisticated digital control capabilities. Practically tailor-made for DXing. 1,500 watts of clean, noise-free power and fully automatic tuning will give contesters an edge by allowing lightning-quick band switching. This thing is amazingly agile. Now, the 600S amp is a great choice as well and way more than just a pretty face. The 600 will give you 600 watts on HF and 6. It's easy to use, intuitive menus, high-resolution color display. You're going to love this thing in your shack. And it uses the amplifier's CAT interface. It will follow the transceiver while switching bands. Monitors input frequency will automatically switch to compensate for band changes. Compatible with all radios on the market today. Works with a mere 30 watts of input power. Now, the 1000 is an extraordinary value for HF and 6. Specially mounted relays will give you virtually silent QSK operation. And if your VSWR stays below 3:1, the amp will allow for quick band switching without the need for a tuner. That means you'll be able to operate faster during a hectic contest environment. And if you're a contester, that is amazingly important. Another week, another big announcement from DX Engineering. It seems like there's something new every week, and that's just how they work over there at DX Engineering. In fact, be on the lookout for the new summer DX Engineering catalog to replace that outdated one that I just threw over my shoulder. Should be hitting your mailbox here in the next few weeks. Crammed with all the new products, and every one of them comes with DX Engineering superior customer support, the lowest price guarantee, blazingly fast shipping. So go online, request your summer 2015 calendar catalog. They probably have that in there too at dxengineering.com. DX Engineering, of course, ships faster than anyone else in the industry. If you order tonight by 10 p.m. Eastern, and if your desired item is in stock, it will be on a truck. No, not tomorrow morning. No, tonight. It'll be on the truck on the way to your place tonight. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Go online, request your catalog, or just shop online 24/7. DXEngineering.com/HamNation. Tim Duffy and the folks, Terry Greiser, they're all just amazing. They know their stuff, and you're going to love doing business with them. And we love the fact that they're part of the Ham Nation family. DX Engineering, thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. We are going to go up to Kansas and see what's going on with Dale up on the Yellow Brick Road. It hasn't blown away, has it, Dale? I know there's some pretty bad weather there to the south of you in Oklahoma today.
We haven't blown away yet. We had some tornadoes right around the area here earlier this afternoon. In fact, about the time I was heading home from work. So, it's spring in Kansas, and we've got another thunderstorm just south of us. In fact, I heard some rumbling just a little while ago. So I've pulled the antennas off, probably won't make the 40-meter net tonight. Just too much QRN and too much lightning out there. But That'll be great. Okay. Hey, we've got a quick how-to, a very active amateur radio club on Long Island, and an 8mm retro look at state QSO parties highlighting tonight's video segment. Let's kick it off, get things started by taking a look at how you can get ready for all the fantastic and fun special events this summer by making your own QSL cards. And with that tutorial, here's Dan. He's in 9LVS.
There are other softwares that are available, but these are some that I've tried. For our example here, I'm going to use Photoshop. The way you start out is you go to File, then New, and you get this little pop-up window. Make sure that you change the resolution to 300. You also want to set your height at 3.5 inches by 5.5 inches wide, as well as set the background to transparent. Then you should have a screen that looks like this. Next thing we'll want to do is add a layer. In the case of Photoshop, go to Layer, New, and Layer, and we're going to want to make that layer white. It should look something like this. A quick hint, every element should have its own layer. So now that we have our base, let's get started. I always start out with the call sign. And of course, we want to give our call sign a little bit of pizzazz. Then we put in our personal information and give it a little bit of pizzazz as well. Now, this is the contact information area. This I actually do as an image, which I created in Photoshop earlier. Then in my case, I add the fixed and mobile area. I do about 50% fixed and 50% mobile, so it's a neat way to set the two contacts apart. Then I always add the please and thank you area. Now in my case, I leave the county area as a blank. And again, because I do a lot of mobile operation, this area is left blank. Now here is where you can start to get creative. If you want to do cards like this, you remove the white layer and put the picture in its place. In this case, a restored vehicle. Or maybe your favorite fishing hole. Or maybe the type of rig that you use. The examples of this are endless. The other idea is more of a collage type idea. You can add some personal pictures. Now again, we want to make sure that the resolution is very high. Then you'll want to add some logos. And again, use very high resolution logos. Most of them are available from the different organizations' websites. However, some logos require you to send an email to the organization to get the high resolution logos. We can also add clip art. There are numerous websites for this. Again, make sure that you get a high-resolution copy of the clip art. Then you're ready to save the file. And make sure you save it in as high resolution as possible. I've never had a printer call me back and say, hey, that resolution was way too high for me to use. Here's a few things to keep in mind. This is a custom print job, in most cases. Treat it as such. Keep the resolution high, 300 dpi or higher. If there's one thing you take from this video, it's keep the resolution high. Contact the printer directly, and definitely ask for samples of the work. Ask questions of the print company. I always look at it this way, there's no such thing as a dumb question. Ask the print company's opinion. Most of the people you'll be dealing with are graphic arts designers, so definitely ask their opinion. And a lot of times, I'll just ask a simple question, what would you do? Before your cards go to print, definitely ask for a proof. That's just a simple file, usually lower in resolution, but it will show you what the card is going to look like when it's finished. And above all, keep the lines of communications open during the entire transaction. And here's a short list of some of the color printing companies I found online. Some are in the U.S., some are abroad. And that's making QSL cards, tips and tricks. I hope this video has been helpful. And 7-3s from N9LVS.
7-3 Dan, and thanks for that tutorial. Dan gives many additional QSL design pointers in the full video. You can find a link to that video and all videos shown here on Ham Nation at hamnationvideos.info. Well, the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club on Long Island is one of the most active ham clubs in the nation. And with the report for Ham Nation, here's Bill, WB2QGZ.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bill, WB2QGZ, from the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club. GSB is based on Long Island and was established in 1975. Today, we have over 170 members. The Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club has four analog repeaters, one on 2 meters, one on 220, and two on 70 centimeters located throughout Long Island. I'm happy to say that for our fifth repeater, we recently acquired a D-Star repeater from ICOM and now also have D-Star capability. Together, our system covers from Queens County in New York City to Eastern Long Island. As a club, we're very active in public service and played an important role in emergency communications during Superstorm Sandy. We also particularly enjoy field day.
This is John Melfi, although if you're an amateur radio operator, you may know him better as...
Whiskey 2 Hotel Charlie Bravo, which is W2HCB.
John is the president of the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club, and today his group was enjoying its annual field day event outside of Babylon Town Hall in Lindenhurst.
And the whole purpose is to see how fast we can get our antennas set up in case of an emergency, if all communications are blocked out. We have the ability to communicate via voice, CW, and also digital stuff. We can actually send faxes through radio signals, and that's what we do.
We also participate in the Great South Bay Swim.
KC2WUP, go with your message. The swimmers and kayakers are in the water. The swim has started.
And the Hope for the Warriors run each year.
Let's give them a great round of applause. We are... admiration and respect and love and thanks for what they do for our country.
Special event stations include operating from the American Air Power Museum. And the Fire Island Lighthouse each year.
Call is W2GSB. Whiskey 2 Golf.
QRZ, W2GSB, Fire Special Event Station.
Lighthouse, WTGSB, Whiskey 2 Golf.
Whiskey 2 Golf Sierra Bravo Portable Fire Island Lighthouse.
It's important that people know that lighthouses exist, and these were very important navigational aids.
The club regularly has free licensing classes for all levels of amateur radio and frequently holds VE sessions. We have a number of weekly nets on VHF, UHF, and HF. Here's our home at the Babylon Town Hall and our club station, W2GSB.
K2LI, go ahead.
Here's a look at our repeater installation.
This is our W2TOB 440-250 D-Star repeater, which we're very proud of. It's the D-Star repeater controller from ICOM, works great. We have the duplexer here, we have a 100-watt amplifier here, and a power supply. And the whole system works very well in conjunction with our 2-meter analog repeater, our 220 analog repeater, and we're very proud of this system.
You can find out more information about the Great South Bay Amateur Radio Club on the internet at www.gsbarc.org. So if you're in the area, tune up to one of our frequencies or D-Star Reflector 20 Alpha and say hello.
Well, thanks for putting that report together, Bill. It illustrates the types of activities that can help us all grow great amateur radio clubs. Well, almost every weekend throughout the summer, you can hear the many state QSO parties on the air. And to put you in the mood to join the fun, Steve Miller, WL7YQ, created a 50-second, 8-millimeter retro look at his friend Russell, N0QLT, operating the Missouri State QSO party from Steve Shack in Joplin.
Okay, QSZ, November 0, Quebec Lima Tango.
Whiskey Japan 4, Hotel Charlie Papa.
Okay, ending Hotel Charlie Papa.
Whiskey Japan 4, Hotel Charlie Papa.
Whiskey Japan 4, Hotel Charlie Papa. You're 5959 Jasper County, Missouri. That's Juliet off of Sierra.
Roger, roger. On the gas,
Well, thanks, Steve. And you can join the fun at the state CUSO parties on HF just about every weekend. Just listen for the state CUSO party stations to call CQ. Well, on the next video segment, we'll be sure to present another Show Me Your Shack episode. And if you'd like to see your shack, get your photo on in to hamnationvideos.info, rather at twit.tv, and we'll get you on right away. I got a quick question here. Would you like us to also provide links to the videos played on the entire Ham Nation broadcast on hamnationvideos.info, along with the links to the segments? If so, let us know, and Dan and I will work out some of the details, see if we can do that for you. Well, it's time to get your rigs tuned and your antennas tweaked, and you'll want to join the Ham Nation HF After Net Show controllers. We'll be having a great special event. You heard Mike earlier. It honors the 200th broadcast of Ham Nation. That event begins on May 27th and runs until June 3rd. You'll have a chance to win this frameable certificate for yourself, and if you can work all six of the special event one-by-one calls, you can get a nice endorsement sticker along with your QSL card. Well, that's it for this week. Get your videos and photos into us right away. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Right now, Amanda has questions from the chat room. Good evening, Amanda. You ready for the big event and all the other events this summer?
Yes, I am. I'm definitely well, it depends on what big event you're talking about. If you're talking about Dayton, of course I'm ready because unfortunately I'm not going. But any other big events, if you're talking about the special event, you betcha I'm ready to work all of you guys. I want to earn my certificate too. With that, let me give some announcements here, and then we'll go back to George and see if he found his question. First, Melanie from DX Engineering just upgraded to General last night, and her call sign is K8KSU. So congrats, Melanie, there. And Patrick, KC1DSP, he says that he got his license all due to Gordo's books. And thank you, Gordo, so much for helping him out there.
You got it.
All right. And George, did you find your question for everybody tonight?
Oh, no. No audio. George.
Oh, no.
That's the question.
It's just been one of those kind of
nights. Oh,
wow. You know? But I did find the question, though. And here it is. You know, we say SWR all the time, but it's really VSWR. I want to know what the V in VSWR stands for. And if you can guess it, I'm going to send you this MFJ dual 24-hour clock. And send your answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And I did want to mention one thing I forgot to mention earlier. Like, everything else was so smooth tonight. I don't know how I missed this. But Tommy and I are going to be doing Amateur Logic Live from Dayton Hamvention at the ICOM booth on Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And we want you to join us if you can, icomamerica.com/Dayton2015. And Gordo's going to be dropping in and saying hello to us too there. And we're going to, I don't know what we're going to do, Gordo. We're going to have some kind of fun, though.
Oh, yeah. We definitely will have fun. We have certificates for those that want to stop by the ICOM booth. So we'll see everybody at ICOM America. I've got my ICOM D-Star, so I'm tuned in, and we'll be there.
Cool. Well, Amanda, what great questions have you got for us tonight?
Okay, well, I have a couple, actually. And somebody called me Ranger Amanda. Now, yes, I am wearing a uniform tonight. And that is due to we participated in the CSEP exercise today. And that stands for Chemical Stockpile Emergency Preparedness Plan. Now, there are two of those in the United States that are left active. One is in Kentucky. One is in Pueblo, Colorado. What they hold is mustard gas. And due to that, FEMA and the U.S. Army work with the community on an emergency preparedness plan and work with them with resources to give them anything they need, basically in case there is some kind of meltdown. So every year we participate in a different scenario of what might happen, and it usually involves evacuations to a school, to a hospital, things like that. So anyhow, there was about 16 amateur radio operators that participated in that today, and we established communications between Red Cross shelters and all the way up to our state EOC in Denver, Colorado. So it was quite a fun time and quite the learning lessons. I learned a lot, by the way, and we have FEMA evaluators all around us. Quite interesting, you guys. Search for it on Google it. Yeah, it's pretty neat. Anyhow, I do have some questions. Marty, KC1CWF would like to know, what would you recommend for a first beam antenna, three-element tri-bander? Gordo, do you want to take that?
Well, from DX Engineering, they have several choices. The Cushcraft three-element beam, the Mosley three-element beam. There are a lot of great three-element tri-band beams, but I like the A4 from Cushcraft. It has one additional element. The boom is not that much longer, but check in with DX Engineering because they've got experts there that will help that operator plan for a great lightweight, probably about $400 to $500 brand new three element beam. And by the way, for your exercise preparation, you know, there is one word that goes with the preparation, and that word is run.
Very good. Yes. But we don't want everyone to do that. Unfortunately, no, it was a good time though. And I see lots of stuff about, oh boy, I can't even repeat some of this stuff on chat. Okay, you guys will see it later. Let's just say we should all be eating hot dogs while I talked about this. With that, you guys, I didn't get any other questions tonight. Really, I'm just, let's go over what is your most exciting thing that you look forward to on Dayton. Dale, you take it first.
Okay, I just really enjoyed wandering around looking at all the events in the past. We're not going this year, but by golly, I think we'll be tuning in to the broadcast from ICOM with George there and the his amateur logic people and watch a couple of those things. I think it'll be great to watch the antenna form. That's going to be good, sponsored there by DX Engineering. And, of course, W5KUB is always on. So I think we'll be able to take part remotely with streaming video and see some of those great presentations and some of those forms. It won't be as much fun as wandering around the yard with Gordo last year. So
that's it. Now, Gordo, what do you find the most exciting about Dayton every year?
Well, I like the weather because when the weather's good, you see the outside swap meet at any time. Sneak in before they open the gates at 0700 and look at the stuff. Then when the weather turns bad, you run inside and then see all the hundreds of exhibits. So back and forth and back and forth, you get your exercise, Amanda.
So you really just literally told people to sneak into the Dayton outside yard. Okay. Good to know. George, what about you? What do you look forward to at Dayton every year?
I look forward to the food. They have the best hot dogs there at the Harrah Arena. No, not with, actually.
With mustard gas?
Yeah. I really like, I like swap meat. You know, I'm a builder and, there's just so much to see there that there's no way you can see it all. But, you know, the inside exhibits are great, too. And the same thing, there's so many that it would be impossible to see them all. But if there's something you need and you can't find it at Dayton, you don't really need it.
There you go. And I know, Bob, you guys, if this is your first year going to Dayton, I can't testify against for this, but I know that everyone has a wonderful time. Everyone has a great time meeting Bob, Gordo, George, all of them. Hang out with them, photobomb them, ask them all the tough questions that we don't get to answer on here. And I really look forward to next week's show. So with that, thanks everybody. I'll send it to you, George.
Okay, Amanda. Well, We appreciate all that good information. And sorry that you and Dale and everyone else who can't make it to Hamvention this year won't be there. But we're all going to be trying to bring you some live coverage throughout the event, as well as we're going to have a big wrap-up, you know, the week afterwards here on Ham Nation. I'm sure Gordo's going to have plenty of short shots there, and hopefully I'll bring back a little video too, but really looking forward to seeing everyone there. There's always so many great hams that we meet there every year. Some we meet year after year, but there's also a lot of new people that we've never met before that this is our one opportunity to meet and greet. So that's always a blast. Well, Gordo, have you got any final, and I'll use the words lightly here, words of wisdom for us?
Well, my words of wisdom is come up on 40 meters, even though bank conditions are a little rough. I've got the volume standing wave ratio. No, it's not volume standing wave ratio. We'll come up with that answer. We've got the volume turned up on 72, 78, and I believe there, there's signals there. So see everybody on 40 in a few minutes. Back to you.
That's great, Gordo. Well, Dale, what about you? Any words of wisdom from the Yellow Brick Road?
Well, just stay out of the way of the storms this time of year. I think that's probably the best bet. Be careful if you're out there driving, and unless you know what you're doing, don't chase them. But if you can help by being a Skywarn volunteer or a Racy's member, I think that's a great opportunity to provide some service for ham radio, George. Go.
Yeah, sounds great, Dale. All right, for Bob Heil, Don Wilbanks, and the whole crew here, 7-3, thanks for joining us tonight. Some of us will be live from Dayton next Wednesday night. I'll still be here, but I'll be heading out Thursday, as well as the rest of us who are going to make it. And, boy, really looking forward to a big time this year. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you again next week.
Bye, guys.